Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And happy Mother's Day to each of y'all. There's one thing that all of us have in common in this room. We all have a mother. Everybody born in this world has a mother. And it is wonderful to celebrate it this year. As I was thinking about what I wanted to say this week, this is my third Mother's Day without my mother. I had her till I was 58 years old, which I think is a blessing. But a lot of times your focus will be on what you don't have no longer. Well, and naturally so. But this week, God revealed to me that, hey, you are a mother. It's time for you to focus on you being a mother and being grateful that I'm a mother and I have two wonderful grown children. So my focus has been flipped this week. And I'm, thankful for that God showed me that. So I've been more focusing on that piece this week. Not like, oh, I miss my mother, and I do, but, oh, gosh, I'm the next generation. I'm the mother now. So, let my children treat me. So, anyway, today I'm going to talk a little bit about my life growing up and my mother's influence in my life, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about me as a mother. And in case you don't know me, as Debbie said, I'm Deborah, and I'm married, been married for 40-some years, and and I have two grown children and one granddaughter and one grandchild on the way, so. And in case you can't tell by my accent, but I was born and raised in North Carolina in Nash County, not far from here, about an hour's drive. So I ended up here for different reasons that I'll tell you later. But growing up, my mother always had me and my sister in church. There was only two of us. Every Sunday we went to church. My daddy never went to church with us. Now, he had a background. He grew up as a Methodist. His mother always made him go to church, but when he got married, he quit going to church. But my mother didn't, and she faithfully had us in church every Sunday. And for many years, for about the first 12 years of my life, I was in a Free Will Baptist church. So, I got that hell and damnation hammered in my head. We always had yearly revivals. That was normal. I mean, and that still happens. But every year, usually in the spring, you'd have a guest preacher and they'd come and preach for a week. And you had to go to revival every night. And I was around 9 or 10 when the Lord put it on my heart. And I had the altar call, is what we called it then. And I went up and gave my life to Christ then. And it was very real. Some people say you don't have emotions, but I was very emotional that night. I was a young child, so I think that played a part in it too. And then, it wasn't long after that I was baptized, so went through all the steps. And I was faithful for a few years. But something changed when I became a teenager, 14, 15. At that point in my life, I stopped following God. I turned my back on God and Jesus and started following a not-so-good crowd of people that I shouldn't have been following, but I did. Looking back now, I know that was just the devil shining that bright, pretty light. Hey, come over here, join us. Forget those dull people over there. But I did. I followed the wrong crowd. I was not a very pleasant teenager, I'm sure, to my mother, and regretfully so, but I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done for a long time. I got married at 19, very young. It was too young, but I didn't know that then. But still survived all those years of ups and downs. And when I look back at it, for a good 10 years, I didn't follow God. Now, when I lived at home, I still had to go to church. It didn't matter. But, you know, I asked myself, why? You know, why did I just stop? The funny thing is, I never stopped believing in God, though. And I never doubted his existence during those years. I just ignored it. You know, it was on the back burner, as they say. You know, I don't know why I did that, but I guess it was just that I just didn't push the devil out of my heart and my life as I should have. So I spent many years running from God, and I feel like maybe some of it was because I was a young person. I didn't have a good, solid many years under my belt as a Christian, or I got saved early, and I don't know. It doesn't matter why, it just is. The good thing, though, is my mother and her willingness to always have me in church every Sunday, because all those years, she was helping me with that foundation that God gives us. And so I had that foundation. It was firm. It was made of bricks. It was not going anywhere. I built some sand on it for a little while, but that finally blew off. So I have to say, because of my mother, that's why I'm where I'm at today, because of that foundation. And it, we all know this verse, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." I believe that with all my heart. And, you know, for anyone that has grown children, that you have gave them that foundation and they may not be living that way, don't give up hope. I'd like to think my mother probably never did. So, probably, I'm going to say it was my early 20s, mid-20s. God had another plan for me. So it's like in Terry's words, but God. Amen. And he started, you know, when I accepted him as my Savior, his hooks were in me. So all of a sudden, it's like, he started tugging on that, reeling me in a little bit. It's like, okay, what's going on? Me and Clifton moved to Fuquay around that time. He was going to Wake Tech, and he wanted to be closer to school. And I took a job here in Fuquay. And there was a couple people I was working with. They were Christians, and they were always talking about God. And that was, you know, I believe with all my heart that God started putting those people back in my life. So I started talking again about God for the first time in many years. And I even came home sometimes at night and I opened that, dusted off that Bible, opened it up and started reading again. So, you know, I worked with these folks for a few years, and me and Clifton bought a house here. And right after we moved in, here come my neighbor. She was a single young girl. "Oh, please go to church with me," you know. And that's the thing that, you know, we practice here. Talk to your neighbors, invite them to church. And here was this woman. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go with you, you know. And I did. And I started going back to church all of a sudden, just like that. This, you know, neighbor out of nowhere. And during that time, I rededicated my life to God somewhat. Now, I have to say, during a few years there, I sat on the fence with feet on both sides of the fence. Yes, that can be possible. You can dabble in both worlds. But I knew I wanted to have children. And me and Clifton had started talking about it. And I knew no matter what, I was going to bring my children up in church, just like my mother did. Whatever happens, wherever I am in my life, we're going to church. And I did. I went with her for a while, had my first child, which was my daughter, Jessica. But I didn't really love the church so much that I was going to. But these wonderful people that I was working with, one of them told me, hey, I've heard about this new church in Fuquay. They're meeting at the elementary school. And I'm like, okay, I'll go try it out, you know. And we did. Clinton went with me the first time we went. He went a few times. And I loved it. Loved the people, loved the atmosphere, and which, of course, was Fellowship Bible Church. So I continued to come with my children, and Jessica was 4 when I started coming. And at that time, we had, you know, children's programs, so I would help out some of that because my children were in there. You know how that goes, young ladies, young mothers. And but, you know, I was still dabbling a little bit on both sides of the fence. But that was okay. You know, I kept persevering. I didn't ever stop coming. And then for, you know, as time went through, my children, you know, grew up. I started growing more with my relationship with God. I finally got on the right side of the fence. God reeled me on into the boat. Wholeheartedly. So, which was good. I mean, he knew. He knew all along, even though I was dabbling out there as a teenager and shouldn't have been, I still came back. And today I'm so thankful. So, as I really started growing my relationship with God, I did that through going to Bible studies, coming to church here, what was being taught, getting in the Word. I think a big turning point in my life, too, was as far as my relationship with God. For a couple of years, I had somebody whispering in my ear, back ear, saying, hey, don't you want to get on the ladies' leadership team? You know, and I don't think so. But she didn't give up. She kept persisting. Finally, the timing was right. The door opened perfectly for me to join the leadership, ladies' leadership team. And I have to say that was one of the best, has been the best moments of my life in the last 10 years, serving on that team. So the first time we went on a planning retreat, Debbie said, now, you got to do devotions. I'm like, what? Why? But as she has been such a great spiritual leader, that has taught, first of all, you got to get in the Word. You really got to study God's Word. And then you learn to do devotions because guess what? The next step is you got to really do them in front of other people. And that was a great teaching experience for me and growing my relationship with God. And during this time, I also found out that one of my spiritual gifts was faith, and I believe hope too, but I never, never lost my faith in God. Now, I may not have always, he may not always been front and center. I've read about people who fall away from God, and then all of a sudden they're saying, I don't believe in God. He's not real. Those words never entered my head or heart. I never doubted them. So he just gives me an unwavering faith, and I just, and of course, now I'm praying that it'll stay that strong through whatever may be coming our way in the future, but I'll never ever doubt or not believe in him. And again, I have to say that some of that goes back to my mother and those years in church and building foundations and making me go and going to youth group and all of that. She never stopped, even though my daddy never went to church. So here I came along with my 2 children, and my husband didn't come to church. Now, he'd come some once in a while, and there was a few years he came for a little bit. But I still came. I remember one time getting to church one morning. I don't remember how old my children were, but I was helping Edith Bunn in the four-year-old class. So I'm going in, and it's like, oh my God, I'm here. And she said, you know, I am so proud that you come and bring your children every day. And I know it's hard getting up every morning and getting them ready. And that was such an encouraging words, and I'll never forget them. It's one of those things, little things that just stick with you that I needed to hear that morning. Because some mornings it was like, I don't even think I'm going to go through this. Because it's hard when it's by yourself. And I was also a working mother. I have worked my whole life full time. So Sundays, you know, it was one of them days you really would prefer to stay at home and rest. And but I tried to get my children here because I wanted them to have that foundation. My husband never fought me on it or said, you know, he's dabbled on that fence too, but he agreed, yes, if you want to raise them in church, that's fine with me. I want you to. So I had his support in that respect, thankfully. That was one hurdle I didn't have to worry about. So as a mother for myself, that was one of the things I want to do, give my children a foundation so that if they do turn away, that I believe they will come back. Now, neither one of my children right now are living their life for the Lord like they should, but they're dabbling in it, you know, because I never give up hope. I constantly pray. I mean, mothers, hey, that's what you do. You pray for your children. And so I do believe that they'll find their way back to God. And you know, I see him working, just like he did with me. Those little things that he plants in your life, I see him doing that. Now, my children of the, I don't know which generation, like y'all younger folks are in, so they're a little more stubborner. We're a little bit more persuasive in my generation. So they'll come around. I believe that, and I won't ever give up on them. And even they know where I stand with my faith. There's some things they won't tell me because of that. It's like, you don't need to know that. So, you know, they respect that. And if they didn't know God was real, they would not probably say that. And I do believe that. So that part has been good for me. And so today, and, you know, that's where my life is right now. Sometimes I get my granddaughter. My son don't have her in church like I would prefer, but when I have her, y'all have seen her. She comes with me, and she talks about God. She told me the other day, she said, I want to go to heaven. And I'm like, And she knows when she comes to my house and we read books, the first book we have to read is a Bible story before we can read any other books. So, you know, I'm trying to plant some seeds in her as much as I can as a grandmother, which is a whole nother different level, but anyway, I am thankful that I am a mother, that I've had the privilege of having two children that I could mother. I'm thankful that God showed me what he showed me this week, not to focus on so much the sadness of, oh, I don't have my mother today, to, oh, but I am a mother, and I've got two wonderful children, and I'm so thankful for that. And I do want to leave one verse with y'all, especially if anyone is struggling or sitting on the fence or not sure about things. I wished I had this more in my life early on, but, you know, it didn't work out that way. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That renewing of your mind That is something we have to do every day of our lives, young, old, it doesn't matter, because there's so much temptation out there, and never stop believing in God, because no matter where you are in life or what your heart is or what your mind is, don't ever stop believing. So that is all I have, folks, for y'all today. And
in case you're wondering how these women get selected, it's God. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's God. And it's not really... We need to practice sharing our testimony, just like Paul did and the others. So that's where it came from. And every year I ask God, who do you want? Who do you want? There are very few years that he tells me nothing. He has shown me many, and I've gone to him, and sometimes they say, not yet, and that's okay. Not up to me, it's up to God. But this year, 2 weeks ago, because I had already asked many, and they didn't get back to me, I said no. But 2 weeks ago, after church one day, I said, Cindy, do you mind sharing, praying about sharing? I did it in the middle of the service, didn't
yeah.
I? And I said, pray about sharing your testimony with the church on Mother's Day. She said, yeah, I'll pray about it. I said, I'll get back to you after church. And I did the same today.
And she did.
And I did. And I got them together, and I said, did God give the answer yet? And they both said, yes, they do it. So again, it's God that's done it. But Cindy, like Deb, I've known for a long time.
Long time.
When the boys were little.
Yeah.
And they came, Michael and Dominic. And I've seen the faithfulness of this woman, the dedication of this woman, the sweet, sweet spirit and the things she does behind the scenes that we would never know. But God does. I've seen her dedication to the Lord. And I've seen her love for her family. Her love for her husband.
Yes.
And just so thankful for him, too. Because he is supportive of Cindy. Cindy, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Love you.
What an opportunity when Davey came up to ask me to speak to the ladies in the church and about being a mother. The first thing that came to my mind is Mary, as she saw Jesus on the cross. Her heart was so broken and the sacrifice that her son was doing. So that was the picture that was implanted, and I got the Bible. I said, Jesus, you're going to have to help me through this one. And he says, you've already got it. I gave it to you when Debbie asked you. And it was Jesus on that cross that he sacrificed for us and even me as a sinner at one point in my life. So with that being said, Mary was a mother, and I'm a mother of two boys. So blessed. That was beside my salvation, first, that God blessed me with becoming a Christian. Blessed me with two boys. I think I love them more now as adults than I did when they took the first breath, because they are my world. And he showed me through the years that I have to lean on him a little bit more as they got older, because we can't control everything they do, because I was a controller. I wanted to keep control of them and what they did and how they did it. But he says, no. So it's like I was before I became a Christian, like Deb said. Yeah, I was out there a little bit. I straddled that fence, but at a very young age, I remember my mom taking me to church a couple of times. She wasn't a 100% goer, but she did take me a couple times. And I was real young. I didn't accept Christ then, but I accept Christ when I was a teenager. I have to say, my childhood wasn't one of those exciting ones. I was grew up with alcoholic parents. I'm trying not to get emotional. They loved me in a certain way, but I knew that things had to be better in my life somehow, and I didn't know how to find it. And as I traveled through my teen years, I found myself in the woods a lot, crying out to Jesus, saying, "Can you show me the way? Why does life have to be so hard?" And at that point, I knew that was part of my destination to come to him. Because without that, I don't think I would have reached out to him and cried and trying to figure out my way in life. Because the parents that I had, like I said, loved me in a certain way that they did their best, but church wasn't in it. And so every chance I got, when somebody did invite me to church, I went. But I kind of remember sitting on this log out in the woods one time, just crying out to him and asking him to come into my heart and try to lead me and keep me safe at that point, because you never know what the next day was going to bring. And so throughout then, I was married young. Not a lot of people know this, and I had never shared it. I was married at 16, not by my husband, Emil, but another guy. And, of course, yeah, I married an alcoholic. Wasn't very good. So I did go to church a lot because his dad was a pastor. So that's where I accepted Christ, you know, but his son was not a very good man. So that lasted about 3 years. Life kept going on, and I kept just felt like I was making a mistake. What am I doing so wrong? And I get in the Word, but I still wasn't really listening. I was like, okay, I hear you, but I'm not ready yet. But not until I met my husband, Emil. He blessed me with him, and like I said, I love him so much for allowing me to respect my wishes of bringing my two boys up in this church. This has been the most loving family ever, that has great support in my life. And I can't go without not being here. You know, I got to go see my family and see Jesus. And yeah, the virtual stuff is kind of cool when you're really tired, but it's not the same as being here. So with that being said, I am so grateful to be a mom. I want to say thank you to all of you lovely ladies out there for being a mom. And God has showed me so much in the last, since COVID hit actually, of leaning on him. And he showed me how to persevere. And he showed me what abundantly is. Each year I feel like I get stronger in my faith, and he shows me these little God winks along the way, and I would get so excited. I come running in and tell Miss Jenny, you're not going to believe this. And she was like, yes, and I believe that. And I love to share his word and his blessings and all the stuff that he's done for me. So when I have an opportunity to speak with Jesus, I love it. That is, he's just so planted in my heart, and I've turn on my phone and play me some Jesus music every single day and praise him all the way to work and even at work. And as I get older, I'm leaning a little more and more and more on Jesus. So I think that's what he wanted to teach me. So I thank you, ladies, and everybody in here for listening to me and letting me have the opportunity to share what he has done in my life. Thank you.
Well, thank you, ladies. It's always inspiring to hear what God has done and how he has worked in the lives of different people. And those of you who have not yet shared can see that you don't die. You may feel like you're going to die, but you do not die. There is life after the testimony. So when Debbie asks you, would you pray about it? Would you really pray about it and see if God would have you to bless us? Because it's a way of you blessing other people with your story of what God has done for you. I couldn't help but think of 2 Corinthians 5, since we're in 2 Corinthians this month. There's a scripture in verses 14 and 15. I think there is a really good application for mothers. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." And I don't know of any other group of women on the planet of the earth that we can really say, except mothers, that they no longer live for themselves. It's a common testimony about mothers that they sacrifice everything for their children. That they deny themselves for their children. That they go without so that their children can have. I've heard that over and over in working with many families. But the mothers are not living for themselves. But Christian mothers are not living ultimately for their children, but they're living ultimately for him who died for them and rose again. Who died for their sake. So what constrains mothers to sacrifice for their children? Paul said, the love of Christ. Christ's love for them was the motivation for these two women who shared their testimony. Christ's love for them helped them to sacrifice for their families, for their children. So we have one more song, and again, I want to call your attention to the last sentence in this bulletin insert that says, "This Mother's Day, we walk with you." That is whatever station in life you find yourself, whatever of these statements about motherhood you find yourself, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. And we remember you, and we honor you. And most of all, we thank God for what he has done in your lives and will continue to do. So let's stand and sing our last song.